I've been out of rhythm. Have you? I've been out of rhythm. Sometimes I go Mach 2, and I just try to juggle too many things at once, and I'm really going. I fail to delegate appropriately. I work like it all depends on me. I don't. If I don't do it, sometimes I feel like it's just not going to get done. And so, you know, sometimes I have to admit I fail to take a full day off every week. My friend said, you always have something to do. And it's true. Now, I like doing. I like accomplishing. I like activity. In fact, I don't really care for sitting around very long. I just don't like doing that. I get restless when I do. Sometimes I sack out my chair a while, but I really don't like that. I typically unwind best by diversion activities, to be honest with you, and being with people and doing things. But a body just can't go all the time. And our minds... our minds need refueling as well. You get out of rhythm if you do not rest. And I think most of us are craving rest these days. We're depleted and overwhelmed, and there's still more on our plate. Parents have their kids in more activities than is manageable. It's just impossible. Soccer and musical and youth group and book clubs and scouts and whatever, and we didn't check the price tag. And with technology, there are no boundaries anymore. I mean, people can reach us wherever we are in an instant, and they expect a response. And we take our entertainment with us everywhere. It's always going, you know. 4G isn't fast enough anymore. Now we need 5G. Our inbox is full, and we have 98 likes on our social media posts that we have to check out right away, you know. Families eat on the run. We're doing life at warp speed, trying to cram in more and more, and the laundry is piling up. Comedian Steve Wright says he installed a microwave fireplace. Now he enjoys an entire evening in front of the fire in just 8 minutes. We all need a break, don't we? We need to put on some breaks. What experience of enduring value can occur at a very high rate of speed? All right. Marriage relationship and intimacy, knowing what's going on in the heart of your 10-year-old, developing a friendship, sharing the gospel with somebody, Bible study. What enduring value can you gain from saturation of schedule? Now, while I get out of rhythm at times, I do intentionally make time to unwind. I do make time for my family, for devotions, to relax with my friends, to worship here with you, to play golf, watch some entertainment, or work a puzzle, read. I like doing those things. When I don't breathe, that's what makes me less productive. It makes me more vulnerable to temptation. My family will tell you it makes me more stressed and cranky, and it's not good for my health. As I got to thinking about it, no one worked harder or more effectively or more purposefully than Jesus. And yet Jesus knew, he knew the importance of balance, refueling, taking a break now and then, getting some rest. Because life in the body, life in the human flesh requires some downtime to replenish our minds and our physical stamina as well as our spiritual vitality. So Jesus didn't just find some downtime for himself occasionally. He led his disciples to retreat. He took them with him. Let's look at one example of that today in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, starting with verse 30. Tells us the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. And so this is like a debriefing time. And then, because so many people were coming and going that they didn't even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And so they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Let's see what Jesus' rhythm of rest looks like so that we can find our rhythm. And the first beat... the first beat in this rhythm is to pour it out. Now, earlier I confessed that I get out of rhythm by not resting enough. But I also have to confess that sometimes I sit and chill too. too much when I really need to get something very important done. I'm putting it off. You ever do that? So sitting down to watch a movie or a ball game isn't irresponsible in most cases. But sitting around and watching TV all the time when I could be doing something constructive, that's not a good rhythm either. So some need to just get off the couch, frankly, and do something constructive, more productive. And more than that, need to get out there and do some discipling. That's what we need to do. But before the rhythm of rest, Jesus taught his disciples the rhythm of serving that we talked about last Sunday, if you remember. And they had been working very hard on preaching the kingdom and meeting the needs of people. And they've been traveling everywhere. And they were exhausted by the time we get to this passage in Mark 6. It was a healthy, satisfying exhaustion that comes from doing good to other people. But when good hard work, productive work comes before play, before rest, we're going to know the joy and relief of accomplished goals. Responsibilities aren't going to be hanging over our heads any longer. And we're going to get more out of the rest and relaxation. So Jesus worked hard, worked really hard. But he wasn't a workaholic. He did find some times to rest. And so that's the second beat in this rhythm, is to take some downtime without guilt or apology. Jesus needed downtime, and so he just took it. As we noted a few weeks ago, Jesus carved quiet time, prayer time, into his life. One example is in Mark 1:35. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house, we might say snuck out of the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Matthew 14:22 reports, after he had dismissed the crowd, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Most days, Jesus was mobbed by crowds everywhere he went, but he did take some breaks. We see in Matthew 15:39, sending away the crowds, Jesus got into the boat and came to the region of Magadan. He sailed away from them. Mark 7:24 tells us, Jesus got up and went away from there to the region of Tyre, and when he had entered a house, he wanted no one to know of it. Okay, he needed some downtime. Luke 5:16. But Jesus himself would often slip away. And consider John 12:36. These things Jesus spoke, and he went away and hid himself from them. So Jesus took downtime, and he made sure his disciples got away with him for some retreat. Now, they didn't always get a chance to eat. They were so busy. But most of the time, they stopped to eat. And not just eat. You'll notice throughout the gospel accounts that Jesus took time to relax and dine with people. He went in their home. They were reclining around the table, had good conversation and fellowship. We see Jesus going to parties. He attended synagogue on the Sabbath. He took time for a nap, even out in a boat, because there wasn't any other time. He was tired. He took a nap. He was able to rest even in the midst of a storm. And he didn't apologize or feel guilty for any of that. It was needed. But what about all the needs of the people? You know, while Jesus is napping, or he's off praying someplace, or just having some downtime, what about the needs of the people? What about people who hadn't heard the good news yet? What about people who needed healing? There was so much to do. But Jesus knew that we have limitations in the flesh. He knew that. He knew effectiveness depended on mental, spiritual, and physical health. And so he set an example for his disciples, and he directed them to rest as well. He established a rhythm, not a rigid schedule. As, okay, you work at this time, and you rest at this time. Not that way. It was more of a flexible rhythm, but it was very much a part of his life. Now, if you do take a break, if you do take some rest, some people will not understand, even in your own household. They think you should always drop everything to tend to their concerns. Your employer, somebody's got, you know, they always want you. Another common situation that we see in the Gospels is that when Jesus did get away to pray or to rest, it seems people often found him anyway. They tracked him down. Everyone's looking for you, Mark 1:37. Mark 7:24, when he had entered the house and he wanted no one to know of it, yet he could not escape notice. And even here in Mark chapter 6, if you look at the very next verse that I didn't read, when Jesus took his disciples across the sea to this isolated place, a remote place for a retreat, the crowd still found him. And that's where he fed the 5,000. I mean, it was a lot of people. And so you think you have your kids all tucked into bed, and you collapse into a chair, exhausted, relishing just a few minutes of peace and quiet. And then you hear, "I need a drink. You know, I got to go to the bathroom. I forgot to do my homework." Brenda and I had just started a vacation. I guess it was really a staycation. But when a young woman showed up at our door, daughter in hand, fleeing an abusive husband and needing a place to stay. Well, we took them in. They need protection. Sometimes you have to be flexible. You have to trust the Lord to provide the rest and renewal that you need at another time, in another way. But there's a point when you do have to say, "I need some rest. I have to rest. I'll be back next week. Talk to me then. Call me tomorrow. I'll be available tomorrow. Set an appointment," or whatever. You know, sometimes you have to do that. There's times when you miss work to go see your child in that play production. It's important to them. So Jesus drew some boundaries, and he kept this rhythm without regret. Jesus entreats, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." That part of the sentence that really grabbed me is when he said, "Come with me." That tells me Jesus not only needed to rest and advocates rest, but he accompanies us. In fact, he invites us to join him in rest. I'm wondering, do you take Jesus with you to the beach or the mountains on vacation? Or do you vacation from him also? I found that Jesus becomes especially vivid to me in times of quiet relaxation. I can hear his voice sometimes more clearly when there's less distraction and stress in my life. So when I stop in all the rush and I take time for devotions, for example, he's there. And he speaks to me and he ministers to my spirit. You know, sometimes when Brenda and I get out of town for some R&R, and we're out on the highway driving, you know, it's just the two of us in the car, and we'll just start chatting about things regarding each other, personal things, and about life, and about ministry, things here in the church, and so on. And sometimes it's in those conversations, in that quiet time in the car, no other interruptions, the Lord speaks and brings clarification to my mind about direction. To be honest with you, some of my best insights and ideas and solutions come to me right after a nap. You know, sometimes I'll be stumped in a coming up with an illustration or an insight for a sermon. How do I say this or whatever? And I take a nap. I wake up 10 minutes later and I got it. And that, you know, because the Lord is with us in rest. He's there. Jesus, you've made being here on Sundays a priority to stop everything else in your schedule, and you're going to be here to worship, and he meets you here. You experience him here, and you find rest for your souls, and it fuels you for life, for problem solving, for serving, for mission. We need him. And so pour it out when it's time to pour it out, but also, without apology, take some rest. And be sure you renew physically and spiritually. That's the next beat in this rhythm. Renew physically and spiritually. Jesus and his disciples were physically exhausted. They were emotionally and mentally spent in Mark 6. They were spiritually high, yet they were drained. They had been doing such great, successful ministry. They were excited, but they were exhausted. Now, to top all that off, we also understand from context that John the Baptist had just been beheaded. This is a terrible thing. This is a relative of Jesus, and someone that most of them were introduced to Jesus by John the Baptist. And so they were grieving his death. And perhaps they're wondering about their own fate. retreat would be a healthy time of renewal with God and with each other away from everyone else. So as we noted, Jesus withdrew. He withdrew personally for devotional reasons, for spiritual renewal, for maintaining communion with his Father, sometimes to debrief with his disciples. He practiced healthy pause. Alan Fadling reflects, rest is not a place I collapse into when I finally done enough work. He says it's a starting place. It's the way into the well-fitting, easy yoke of Jesus, who said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke, my harness upon you, and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul." Fadling asks, what if we began in rest? Would it be possible to do my work without getting all wound up and collapsing? Now, we've already noted, rest is not a recliner life of ease. That's not rest. Even eternal rest in heaven, you know, that's going to involve praise and worship and serving the Lord and plenty of activity. It's not floating around on ethereal clouds. If it is, I don't want to go there, you know. It's not what it is. The Bible never describes it that way. Rest is a relationship. Rest is a soothed spirit, a confident and secure heart and mind in relationship with God. It's a refreshed soul no matter the external conditions or the spiritual threats that are going on in my life. So as I thought about it, I'm thinking my soul needs rest from the burdens of unbelief. Because doubts arise. Questions come up. Some of you have some haunting questions that maybe make it hard to trust God at times. Some people spend their whole life fighting belief in God, resisting, looking for reasons not to follow Him. He can't be trusted. Just stop running. Stop fighting. Jesus relieves those doubts and obstacles to faith if you'll just come alongside Him. The brilliant MIT professor, Rosalind Picard, once said, "I used to think religious people were ignoramuses. I believe smart people didn't need religion." And she tried hard not to think about Jesus. But she decided if she was going to deny the validity of the Gospels, at least she better know what it said. And she found out it was profound and captivating. So eventually, she gave Jesus a chance. And the moment she let Jesus in, life changed, perspective changed. She describes it a flat, black and white existence suddenly turned full color and three-dimensional. Secondly, my soul needs rest from the impossible requirements of the merit system. The merit system of really all the religions of the world but Christianity. The problem with law-keeping is that we're all lawbreakers. You know, it's not this scales thing where if I just do enough good, I'm going to be good with God. It's not that at all. That's a false idea. We're already lawbreakers, and we don't qualify for heaven. We're not good enough. None of us are. It's futile and miserable wondering if we have enough merits to go to heaven. That's not biblical at all. Jesus invites us to unite our lives with Him, to let Him take care of the requirements of the law for us. Jesus takes the burden and the uncertainty away by going to the cross for us. In Christ, we are sure of our salvation. We don't have to worry about the merit system. And my soul needs rest from the torment of this world's depravity. Man, we grow weary of the encroaching evil of our world. And we worry about the world our grandchildren are growing up in. And we're personally battered by the temptations, swimming against the current all the time, ridicule of our faith and our morals. Our hearts are vexed with the immorality, with babies aborted, with human trafficking, with kids confused about sexual identity, with mass shootings and unchecked greed and racial oppression. We need peace and justice and assurance. And you can have that in relationship with Jesus. My soul needs rest from my own fleshly desires. 1 Peter 2:11 says, abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. And wage war is not exaggerated language, is it? The things that we don't want to do, no, we shouldn't do, we just keep caving into. We can't seem to escape. Walking in rhythm with Jesus can give us rest and victory in this raging battle. And my soul needs rest from the fears that taunt my soul. We're afraid for our kids' safety and well-being. We're afraid of terrorists and coronavirus and what will happen if so-and-so gets elected. We're afraid for our jobs. We're afraid for 100 things. Harnessing our lives with Jesus calms our fears and gives us assurance. He's in charge. We're good with Him. And my soul needs rest from the threat of condemnation. In Christ, we never have to be burdened about our salvation. We're confident in Him because of His resurrection. Revelation 14:13 says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, for they will rest from their labors and their deeds will follow them. Refreshment. It comes from here, around the table of the Lord, and in your devotions, in your daily walk with Him. In the assurance of your salvation. It's not in the ritual itself. Again, it's in the relationship. It's in the person of Jesus. And no matter how fast it's going out there or whatever's raging against your soul, you have peace in the inner man. Rest is an inner thing, not an activity. It's something that happens in here. That's what Jesus offers. And He begins to reshape my choices and my priorities and perspective, my pace, the way I look at things. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Paul prays, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And once I'm secure in the rhythm of rest, then I can return to serve effectively. Ironically, when Jesus and His disciples arrived at this isolated retreat in Mark 6, a crowd greeted them. It was back to work right away. Rest amounted to just the boat ride. That's all they got. It wasn't really what they anticipated. It wasn't all that they needed. It was brief. But there comes a time to return to active duty. And it's good to take a temporary break, but sometimes we want to stay on vacation, you know? You just can't do that forever. We can retire from jobs, from careers, but not from the mission, and never from discipling. We rest to refuel. We rest to be effective in our mission. The goal is to serve more effectively. Jesus got the disciples into His rhythm by discipling them in a very personal way, by mentoring them. And our rhythm can be caught by the people that we influence. A balanced rhythm of serving and resting is vital to pass on to others. So let your spouse and children, let your parents know that you can take time out for them. If you're mentoring someone, take them with you. Take them with you to Bible study. Let them help you cut the grass at church or work in the clothes closet. Take them with you to go visit Dale Berninger or Debbie Nair in the nursing home. Go together. Coach them if they're in family time, things like that. But maybe you go to the nursing home with them or whatever it is. But sometimes you say, hey, let's go to the Reds game together. Come on over. We're going to have a cookout. Have you ever been camping up and hiking up at Hocking Hills? That sounds like a great time. You want to do it together? I'm going to this conference for some spiritual inspiration. I need it. I thought maybe you could too. So why don't you join me? Take someone with you into rest, into refreshment, into refueling. But listen, the most important way to help your friends and neighbors find rest is for you to introduce them to Jesus, to take them with you on your journey with Jesus as you're trying to follow His rhythms. That's a place where they can find rest for their souls. And perhaps someone has introduced you to Jesus and you're ready to put your faith in him and be baptized into Christ today. Begin that rest with him. Come on. We'll let you do that as you come. If you want to ask questions about it, we can set up times to talk with you about it. We invite you. During our encounter time, I'll be sitting here in the front and you just come on up. In our encounter, we always take time to meet around the Lord's table. As I mentioned earlier in the service, man, this is a table of rest. It's reclining. It's communing with Jesus. And so I love that we can have this close fellowship with him. We can take all the burdens and give them to him and just come and have fellowship with him, be restored and renewed for more mission for him. I love that we can do that and thank him for the great salvation that we have in him. So if you want to celebrate the Lord's Supper with us, tables are set up in the four corners of the room, and you can serve yourself when you're ready. Just get up and go to one of the tables. If you need help, maybe someone can bring you the emblems to where you're seated.